Attorneys at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty are taking a closer look at how the state's school voucher program could better serve rural communities. Wisconsin's parental choice program allows some low-income families to send their child to a private school. Critics have said rural areas are left behind in this model because there aren't enough private schools outside of Wisconsin's more urban areas like Milwaukee.
But the law firm says this is a flawed argument that isn't getting to the heart of the problem. They advocate to loosen the family income caps on the program. Will Flanders is research director at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Will, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
And Colin Roth is research fellow at the firm. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Will, let's start with you. We often think that the epicenter of underperforming schools is in Milwaukee, but you point out that it's rural districts that are on the very bottom of the achievement data. What's going on?
That's right. When people think about sort of the image in someone's mind about poor performing schools, oftentimes I think we think, you know, of an urban district with concentrated poverty. But what we find is that many of the poorest performing districts in the state of Wisconsin are actually in rural areas. If you look at the top 10 lowest performing districts in the state, seven of the top 10 are actually rural Wisconsin districts rather than the urban districts like Milwaukee that absolutely deserve to be focused on, but oftentimes may take too much of the spotlight.
So, Colin, how could vouchers improve education for kids in rural areas? Because there is this argument out there that private schools are often very far away for students in these remote areas to access.
Well, we are unapologetic advocates of parental choice. And as my colleague Will says that, you know, the question of education reform and the education reform movement has too often focused on urban areas. And what we look at when we see the rural districts are struggling in the same ways. And with regard to supply of schools, what we do find is that in a lot of communities in Wisconsin, there are options. There are Lutheran or Catholic schools that could take students on a voucher. But the supply is less, but it's probably more than you would think it is.
But looking at the 2017-2018 county-by-county breakdown, it appears choice schools are located in about half the counties in Wisconsin, 37 counties I counted. So what about the kids who live in the other half of the counties in Wisconsin?
So we think that what we've seen, we looked at the Green Bay schools, for instance. Obviously, Green Bay is an urban area in the state. But what we see is that there's, you know, some high-quality choice schools located in that city. And in order to access these schools, parents are actually willing to drive fairly substantial distances. So we don't think just the fact that there may not be a school located within the boundaries of the county necessarily excludes students from accessing high-quality schools. Of course, there are some areas that are so remote that there may not be viable choice options, but we think this is a solution that works for the majority of students in the state, if not for all.
Yeah, about one in five private schools has an address. One in five private schools in the state has an address that's in a rural or small town area. But of that cohort, only about one in seven are participating in the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program. So we do see that there's more supply than most people might think.
So, Will, if the state would raise the income threshold for families to meet guidelines that are in place for the Milwaukee and the Racine programs, which is at 300% of poverty level, do we have any idea what would happen in rural areas?
It's difficult to get leverage on exactly how many additional students would be eligible if the income caps were raised. Currently, the income cap for the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program sits at 185% of poverty, which is similar to the thresholds for access to free and reduced lunch. Just to put that in perspective, for a family of four, that's an income of about $45,000 a year. So folks that with a family of four, that income obviously would be a struggle for folks to access school choice without the benefit of these voucher programs. On the other hand, you know, going beyond that, incomes $50,000-$60,000 a year. Obviously, for families like that as well, paying for private school tuition might be out of reach in a lot of cases. So we can't get leverage on the exact numbers just because it's difficult with the census data to sort of know the exact percentages. We do know it would lead to a substantial increase in the number of students that would be eligible.
We're talking right now with Will Flanders. He's research director at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and his colleague Colin Roth, research fellow at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And they recently wrote an opinion piece titled Rural Areas Need Voucher Schools, and that appears in the publication Urban Milwaukee. So today, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos answered questions before a House Appropriations Subcommittee, and defending the White House's 2018 budget proposal, it proposes to cut $10.6 billion from federal education initiatives. School choice would get a boost with $1 billion in grants that encourage school choice policies. And let's take a listen now to DeVos's opening remarks.
In total, the president's budget fulfills his promise to devolve power from the federal government and place it in the hands of parents and families. It refocuses the department on supporting states in their efforts to provide a high-quality education to all of our students. Research shows that increasing education options can have positive effects on students generally, and an even greater impact on poor and minority students. If we truly want to provide better education to underserved communities, then we must start with giving parents and students the power to select high-quality schools that meet their needs.
So, Will, we're a ways away from knowing how this 2018 budget will shake out. Do you see, though, more opportunities down the pike for rural voucher initiatives through this federal voucher push, and could that reach these rural areas in Wisconsin?
So we're definitely intrigued, and we're sort of interested in the national focus on school choice. We're glad to see this issue being brought to the forefront more. Without knowing the details of the proposal, it's difficult for us to say exactly the extent to which the new federal proposals would lead to access for rural areas. But we're definitely intrigued and think that the research that DeVos cites, particularly in the Milwaukee area, has shown positive effects for urban areas. We think there's no reason those results can't be translated to more rural settings.
Colin, in your research, are there any findings that you can point to that say giving more vouchers in rural areas, more choice, would boost school performance? Have we seen this done in other places?
I guess I'm not aware of research in other states, but what we do know in the most recent WPCP, the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, those students scored about 6 points higher or 16% better on the ACT and about the same as traditional public schools. So here in the state, even with a young program, we have seen some very good results.
So while vouchers have definitely given poor families more choices, we're having to face is, you know, are children getting a better education? That's been really the rub in this whole voucher debate. Colin, do you see that by opening this up to more rural students, we could get a better read on how choice is doing in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and I think we would be the first to say that a rural school choice or even a statewide school choice program looks a little bit different in how it would function than in a place like Milwaukee. We understand that it's different demographics and that you're dealing with sparser populations. What it looks like today is different than this a place like Milwaukee. A lot of the students entering the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, you know, only two or three or four or five or six from a district can enter, say, a Lutheran or Catholic school right now. And so that you're not seeing, at least with the current regulations and the current caps on income and enrollment, you're not seeing a massive wave away from the public schools right now. So right now, this program is small. We do know there's about a little more than 500 that were on a wait list. So we do know that there is increased demand. And we do expect that with options, the way that we know that education is not a one-size-fits-all model, we think that families in rural Wisconsin deserve the same type of access that families in Milwaukee or Racine have.
In rural areas, though, it would seem districts would be very sensitive to even losing a handful of students. Could this inadvertently hurt school districts that depend on an enrollment to make their schools function, to make their budgets function?
So I think it's important to note here that in general, at least at this point, we're talking about small numbers of students. So for the first year of the WPCP, enrollment was capped at 1% of students in a district. That's set to gradually increase to 2% in the subsequent school year, up to eventually 10%, and then the cap being removed. We think that the sort of gradual growth that's in place means that there won't be a huge exodus of students. We would like to see those caps raised more rapidly. We think the process that's in place right now is a bit too slow. But it's important to also note that for districts that are losing students, they are able to recoup the funds for 3 years for those students through raising property taxes. And therefore, the school has 3 years to adjust, which isn't something that's the case, or it's the same case as if a student leaves for another district or if they move to another city. So we don't think that the voucher program is going to have some huge existential threat for the public school system.
We're talking right now with Will Flanders. He's research director at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and his colleague Colin Roth, who is a research fellow there as well. They wrote a recent opinion piece that encourages the state to open up choice schools to more kids in rural areas.
And you can join us to talk about school choice at 800-642-1234. What do you think about expanding voucher schools here in Wisconsin? If you live in a rural area, would you seek out a choice school or stay in your public school district? If you're a teacher in rural Wisconsin, how do you view this issue? We want to hear your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll continue this conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our conversation about school choice in rural Wisconsin. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you had an opportunity to send your child to a choice school, would you do it? Why or why not? And if you live in a rural area, do you think the state's choice program meets the needs of your community, maybe your child? Join us at 800-642-1234 or post your thoughts on school choice at the Central Time Facebook page.
And Will Flanders and Colin Roth stay with us. They're with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They recently wrote about why they think the state should expand its school choice program in rural areas of the state. Let's go right to the phones right now with Claire in Plymouth. Hi, Claire.
Good afternoon. You know, I have to say I'm someone who's taught at both private school and public school, so I understand what they want to do for those people who'd like to go to private school. I just disagree with them using public funds, because as someone who's worked in both settings, I've seen what's happening. We live in a place where we're possibly one of the lowest spending districts in the state, and we are continuing to fight issues like overcrowding of classes and all those kinds of things. My problem with these school choice advocates and with vouchers and other things is that the people who receive vouchers and the schools that receive voucher students are not subject to the same standards as public schools. And I really see that down the road that there is going to be a huge effect. I totally disagree I can't remember which one it was, who said there's not going to be an effect on public school, because the pie is not getting any bigger. We are not getting any more funding. There's not going to be any, and all we've seen is a decrease. All we've seen is a decrease over the last, so especially since Act 10, and it's not getting any better for public schools. And so while I appreciate the people who want to send their children to private school, I think to take money away from public school, especially in those districts up north where they have the problems, and they don't have, there aren't as many opportunities for them, not private schools. Without taking money away from the public school.
Okay, Claire, let's get a response here.
Yeah, so I think there are a couple points in there that we could discuss. One point is, I think the common perception is that we've seen declining funding for public schools year after year in Wisconsin, particularly since 2010. And while there was 1 year where the budget was actually cut in the sort of aftermath of the Great Recession as the funds from the federal level declined, what we've actually seen is that at a per student level, we've seen funding increase in Wisconsin every year since that 1 year in which there was a cut. And currently, in 2016, the most recent sort of finalized budget data that we've had, we're very close to the highest level of per-student spending that we've ever had in the state. If any of the proposals that have been bandied about go through with increases in per-pupil funding, we'll be well beyond the highest level of per-student funding that we've ever had in the history of the state of Wisconsin. With regard to, you know, issues with overcrowding and issues in individual school districts, I think the perspective that we like to maintain is the perspective of the parent who's struggling to send their kid to a better school. And you know, we'd like to think that, you know, it's unfair, it's fundamentally unfair that a parent in rural Wisconsin doesn't have the same opportunity to send their child to a better school that a student in Milwaukee does. And, you know, there may be some issues that school districts will have to wrestle with as we see choice expanded. But I think the most important perspective to keep in mind is the perspective of parents and students who simply want better opportunities for their kids.
Another issue Claire brought up was not exactly a level playing field. Private schools can choose what kids they will accept. And public schools will educate all students. So it's not really an apples to apples comparison.
Well, I would say that's not entirely true, that private schools, especially in the voucher program, cannot pick their students. They cannot discriminate in any way. So I guess I would disagree with that.
Let's take another call now. Steve in Danbury. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm a teacher who has taught in a rural school district for 30 years. I'm retired now, but I continue to teach in a rural school district, and I've lived in a rural school district all of my adult life. And the proposal to create more voucher schools in rural districts will hurt local schools here. There is no doubt about it. We already suffer from declining enrollment. Your guest's discussion about how districts can raise property taxes for 3 years after they lose students, that's a lose-lose proposition for rural schools. I mean, nobody wants to see property taxes raised. Local people would see that, again, as another slight against them. We already have all kinds of alternative programming within our schools here, so it's not as if parents don't have a choice. And as to funding for public schools, I don't know where your guests are getting their statistics, but since 2010, public school funding has dropped by $1 billion. Now, Walker, here in this election year, or as we come up on an election year, is proposing to raise school funding by about $600 million, but that won't come close to closing that gap. And finally, this year, for the first time ever, pupil funding for voucher students has exceeded that for public school students. So overall, I think this whole push for voucher schools has always been a plan to hurt the public schools, to basically take on the public schools. And as a teacher and someone who has lived in rural northwestern Wisconsin for 40 years, I'm totally against it.
Steve, quick question. You mentioned there are alternatives in the district. What do you mean by that?
Well, the three districts within our county here, and we're a very small county, we've got one stoplight, total population of about 12,000 people year-round, have banded together to come up with an alternative school that's centrally located here in the county. So we have alternative school programming. We have RTI programming within all of the schools. That's response to intervention programming, where students are, if they're not making progress within the regular school setting, they are able to get specialized programming in the form of RTI programming, and if that doesn't work, then they also can get special education programming. So it's kind of a fallacy to say that there aren't choices within the public schools. Generally speaking, parents can look at teachers in the grade their student is going into and have some choice there too. And when you get right down to it, in any school setting, it's the teachers, it's not the school.
Colin, thank you, Steve. I want to give you, Colin and Will, a chance to respond. You know, a lot of the schools on the list are Christian schools. Can this choice also be about religion?
I mean, it could be, depending on what the parent wants. But I think there are other aspects to this school choice debate. I mean, we didn't even talk about charter schools. And I think what the caller even mentioned with different public school options. I mean, we don't really find, you know, another form of school choice that no one really objects to is kind of open enrollment, in which a student can go from one public school district to another. That's the same type of thing in which a student is quote-unquote leaving a district and going to another one. We think that the options here in a place like Milwaukee and Racine, where we provide options to lower-income families, we would just like to see those expanded to rural families.
Well, thanks, Steve. Let's take another quick call here. Jill in Onalaska. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I just had a comment about my concern with the voucher system for rural schools is that I think another caller already touched on that, is the fact that we have a pretty small budget already in the rural school district. And I think the expanding the voucher system to include rural schools might further, depress those areas and take away from the quality that's available in the public school environment. And that would be my main concern.
Colin or Will, do you want to respond to quality concerns?
So I think it's worth emphasizing here that under voucher, the WPCP system currently in place, school districts will maintain the same funding per student, whether one student leaves or whether a larger number of students leave. So the student-by-student funding levels do not decline. And in some cases, over the short term, funding levels per student may actually increase briefly when students leave the system. So just as Colin mentioned, if students leave to move to another district or if students leave to move to another state, the district has to adjust. As fundamental believers in the free market, we think that the voucher system will maybe serve to improve the public schools as well. And in that sense, it's just another force that all sides will have to reconcile just to give students and parents a better opportunity to educate their kids in the environment they think is best for them.
Well, Will and Colin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Will Flanders is research director and Colin Roth is research fellow. They're both at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. It's based in Milwaukee. And they joined us to talk about a recent piece they wrote in the publication Urban Milwaukee that is encouraging the state to expand its voucher offerings in rural areas of Wisconsin. And you can also make your comments on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think about school choice and how it is impacting areas in rural Wisconsin? You can make that on the Central Time Facebook page.